and team for leading us in that time. Friday just gone was our 33rd wedding anniversary. So, which these days you get the comments that, you know, oh, that's a wonderful achievement, simply because, you know, it's not overly common for such longevity in marriage. And people often ask, you know, oh, you know, how do you do that? And one answer that I give that not all of you could give is just do marriage counselling. Because Debbie and I have sat and listened to so many couples, and we have learnt from all of their mistakes. And it helps your marriage to hear what all those other silly people out there are doing. And you think, yep, let's make sure we don't do that. Yep, let's make sure we don't do that. Yep, let's make sure we don't do that. So after a number of years, many, many years, over nearly 25 years of pastoral ministry, of counselling marriages and doing pre-marriage counselling, through all of that time, I have learnt one of the most fundamental secrets of what keeps a marriage relationship together. In fact, this secret is so universal that I think it's pretty true in the bond of any relationship, whether that be a marriage relationship or a relationship between parent and child or friend and friend. And that is admiration. Admiration. When you admire a person, it deepens your connection with them. Sounds simple, I know, but it is an amazing cement in relationship. It's hard to be dishonest with someone who we admire. It's hard to feel hatred towards someone that we look up to. Admiration promotes loyalty and even self-sacrifice. To truly admire someone is to appreciate them. And when you appreciate someone, it enhances always the relationship, overflowing in thankfulness for who they are. When you admire and appreciate someone, you don't tend to take them for granted. You know, in my family, I just love how that works, that admiration and appreciation and respect just happens all the time. I'm talking about basic routine things. So I mow my lawn every week, right? I've been doing it ever since I had a lawn. And it's just a routine thing. But not a week goes by that someone in my family, most often my wife, but often my children, said, oh, Dad, wow, the lawn looks so great. Now, you might think that that's just, you know, well, you do that every week. Of course it looks great. But to be admired for that. Or you make the bed one morning. Hey, thanks so much for making the bed this morning. I kid you not. This happens all the time. Yeah, I do make the bed, so that's good to know. Or doing the dishes. Did you do the dishes this morning? Thanks so much. Of course I did that. I mean, that's what we do, don't we? But it's that admiration. It's that thankfulness, that respect. The other day I was driving an Isaac's car. And I saw the needle was low, so I just filled it up. And he goes to town, says to Debbie, oh, Dad, he's so generous, he filled up my tank with petrol. You know, so to me it's just such a small thing, but to him, like, he's overflowing with admiration. You know, Debbie cooks for us. Hey, thanks so much for cooking that meal. I go and buy takeaway. Thanks, Dad, for the dinner. Thanks, and appreciation and admiration. And it does good for us. In a relationship, it bonds us together. And when there's admiration and appreciation, you actually want to do those things. Those things become enjoyable, and the mundane things of life become rich and deep because we're appreciated for them, and there's thanksgiving overflowing in them. When there is no admiration and appreciation in a relationship, there is a distance. We begin to expect things in the relationship without being thankful for them. Therefore, the love and kindness we show becomes expected without thanks, and it becomes hard work then. It's a chore. And so mowing the lawn and doing the dishes and making the bed and cooking, it becomes a burden because there's no joy in it. All the ordinary things lose their joy because there's no thankfulness in them. There's no thankfulness of heart. I think this translates precisely into our relationship with God as well. When we are full of admiration and thanks to God, we start noticing the things that He does for us. We see His work more in our lives because we're thanking Him for it. We notice it more and we learn to love Him more and we feel His love in our life as well. But taking God for granted and not appreciating Him makes serving Him a drudgery. You know, why do I have to do this? Why do I have to serve? Why aren't other people serving? I'm serving. Why aren't other people serving? And we forget God's blessings and we look only to our own struggles. We forget the cross. We forget forgiveness. We forget eternal life. And we start taking these things for granted. Instead of being filled with love for God, we start looking for a way to escape God. For the next 3 weeks, I want to take us on a journey. I've called it a journey into thanksgiving for the next 3 Sundays. I want to walk together in this journey of learning how to appreciate God in the ordinary everyday things. I want us to grow in our admiration and respect of God. I want us to revitalize our connection with Him. It is amazing how big, when you start looking into it, the theme of thanksgiving actually is in the Bible. In the Old Testament is full of the theme of thanksgiving. I mean, they had sacrifices, they had a whole lot of sacrifices that they had to perform as part of their religious duty. And a whole stack of them were about giving thanks for the harvest and for God's blessing and for the children and all kinds of things. There were these ceremonies. And then they built altars all the time. You know, something significant happens, like they cross the Jordan River because God makes it dry, right? This miracle. So they pile up some rocks and they make a memorial there. They build these altars and there's all these symbols of thanksgiving dotted around the country. They have these festivals that they celebrate and recognize God and they honor God and give thanks to Him for all of His blessings. And it's such a huge theme. And I have been focusing on this journey for about a year now. I started about the middle of last year just walking on this journey of discovery and study and practice into the area of thanksgiving. And I am convinced, in my own experience and through the Bible's teaching, that thanksgiving may well be the missing golden key in our relationship with God. It's such a small thing. It seems so simple in the nature of it. Just to be thankful for stuff seems so uneventful, yet I've come to learn and experience over time how deeply significant it is when we practice this in our relationship with God. It is transforming, not only in your relationship with God, but in your whole life as well. And we'll unpack that over this journey. Through the journey, I really believe, honestly, that you'll notice God more in your life, that you'll feel closer to Him, that you'll discover what it's like to be wrapped up in the glory of God in the ordinary everyday things, and you will unlock a pathway to peace and contentment that most people never find. Firstly, though, I want to warn you, there is an enemy to thanksgiving. I wonder if you can think what it is. There is an enemy to thanksgiving, and it's rife in our society. An enemy that will steal away any thanksgiving that you might have. And the biggest enemy in our society toward thanksgiving is entitlement. It is a huge problem. Entitlement. Entitlement basically says, I deserve this. I deserve it. Well, why should I be thankful for something that I deserve? Entitlement says things like, we deserve more wages. You increase your work? No, I'll do the same work, but I want more wages. That's an example. I'm entitled to that. Entitlement is about my rights. I'm going to have my rights here. Why can't I have that? Other people have that. Why can't I have that? Right? That's entitlement. This is uncomfortable. I shouldn't have to do this. That's entitlement. You are all responsible for how I feel. That's entitlement. Entitlement is almost the opposite to thanksgiving by definition, I think. Thanksgiving is the state of feeling blessed by the actions of another. Something that is appreciated because it acknowledges the thoughtfulness and sacrifice of the other person. Entitlement, though, is a focus on our own importance. I expect you to do that for me. I desire this, and therefore it's no surprise that I should get it. I just take for granted that you would do this for me. And that kind of entitlement leads to pride, and pride is really just about the fact that I am the most important person in the world. That's what pride really is. Pride always puffs up. Pride always seeks more for itself and will take from others in order to gain for itself. A person full of pride cannot be thankful because they're entitled. I want to take you to a story in the Bible that you would know really, really well. Preached on it recently. It's in Luke 17. It's the story of Jesus healing 10 lepers. And many of you will be familiar with the story, but I'm going to read it. It's in Luke 17, verse 11 to 19. The words will be up on the screen if you don't have your Bible in front of you. Luke 17, verse 11. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance, crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus, shouting, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. It's an interesting story, and there are a lot of lessons in there, of course, but we assume that the other 9 men were Jews simply because Jesus points out that this one man was a Samaritan. So we are making some assumptions here. But if they are Jews, it does make some sense why they didn't come back. They received the same healing as the Samaritan, but they didn't thank Jesus. Now, we're not told exactly why, but I can't help but wonder whether entitlement might be the issue here. Now, the Bible doesn't say that, but they're Jews. They asked for healing. Of course we would be healed. We're Jews. That idea of entitlement, I wonder if that's what it was. Only the foreigner came back. And he came back because he experienced something unexpected. He was truly thankful for the miracle of Jesus in his life. Perhaps he was the most thankful because he felt the most undeserving. He was not a Jew. He was not deserving of the Messiah's miracles. The others were healed, but didn't express thanks, as far as we know. I wonder how many blessings flow from God to us every single day that we don't even thank Him for. We're too proud or we're too busy to even notice. Perhaps we get so used to the blessings of God that we start to feel that we are entitled to them. So instead of thanking God, we actually start complaining to God when things go astray. Thanksgiving is, I think, the single most untapped spiritual practice in our relationship with God. I don't think we truly understand how big a part that thanksgiving plays in our relationship. I want to introduce you to my very first memory verse. Now, those who've known me for a little while would probably remember this. My very, very first memory verse that I ever remembered is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus. You might say, if that's a memory verse, why did you just read it out of your notes? Because I learnt it originally in the King James. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It was blown up on little balloons. I remember it. Mine was yellow. And I had will of God on mine. And I got a prize the next week because I remembered it. I learned it at a small Brethren Sunday school when I was very, very young, where my brothers used to attend. Now, the context of 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is in the middle of a list from verse 15 to 22. There is a list of godly practices. And the Apostle Paul mentions joy, prayer, obedience, discernment, discipline, but thanksgiving is in the middle. And it's the only one that comes with a full, complete sentence. It's focused. And it's expressed in this list as a direct will of God for your life. To be thankful. It is God's will for us. You know, we often wonder what God's will is for us, don't we? Like, we pray that all the time. Lord, show me your will. May I understand your will in this situation. And yet in some things, like this one, we have such clear instructions. It is the will of God for us to be thankful. This is very simple. I'm wondering if our relationship with God can actually come down to something as simple as this. Just be thankful. And thankful in all circumstances. The Bible says in everything. Be thankful for that. So in our blessings, we need to be thankful. In the good times, we need to be thankful. In the tough times, we need to be thankful. Whatever our life situation is, and we can preach a whole sermon on that. Whatever our life situation is, thankfulness is the magnet that keeps us connected with God. And this is a continual practice. It's something that we can do all the time, being continually thankful. And it draws us close to God. Just as being appreciative in family encourages your family and promotes love and togetherness, so does thankfulness to God. The heart that is continually thankful has a special connection with God. Listen to what the same writer, the same apostle Paul, says to another church in Colossians 2. He says, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." Paul here paints a deep picture of what it's like to thrive with God. And he uses the image of plants that are well established with roots going down. You know, means a lot in the desert. You know, this is Israel, you know, dry Mediterranean climate. And plants that have got their roots going deep down into the water, into the subsoil, are strong. And he gives this picture of strong relationship, vibrant relationship with God. And the fruit of it, the fruit of this tree of relationship, is an overflowing of thanksgiving, a thanksgiving that you can't help, a thanksgiving that comes out naturally, a beaming with thanksgiving in your life. This is why Christians can be so attractive as people, because they overflow, they beam with this thankfulness. And I've been, as I said earlier, I've been on a journey of this thanksgiving. And I've established habits of learning to thank God in everything. So you're out in the garden, right? And you're digging in the garden, and you're digging out weeds in the garden. cursing Adam while you're doing it. No, no, you don't do that. And a gentle breeze comes. And you say, thank you, Lord. Or you're looking for a car park. It's not so bad in Rockhampton, is it? And you find one. Thank you, Lord. And there's so many things that might happen through the day. And what you start to see is there's this discipline of thankfulness that starts to come. You start to see the blessings and you begin to count them up. And Paul talks about overflowing with thankfulness. It can become overwhelming to see all these blessings. Because when you start to thank God for everything you see, you start then to see God in everything. The work of God starts to become more obvious to you. You become aware that He is with you, that He is manipulating circumstances, that He is in and around and through things, and you become aware of it. Sometimes you see God even in just the ordinary experiences of the day, and it overflows. Paul uses the term overflowing. Let me give you an example. Let's say you wake up in the morning. Straight away, you're aware that you've woken up in a soft, warm, comfortable bed. I'm thankful for that. I wake up, oh Lord, thank you for this soft, warm, comfortable bed that you might then have to get out of, but it's very nice, isn't it? And then when I do get out of it, I'm in a safe, locked up, secure home. I'm also feeling well enough to get out of bed and stand on 2 feet and walk out. Then I have my breakfast, and that's really nice, just to have breakfast. And so dozens of things can happen like this, and the day hasn't even hardly started yet. And suddenly you've got this list already. You're praising God, you're being thankful. Here He is right there with you in your room. There He is sitting with you while you're having breakfast. And the blessings of God start to become conscious to you, and you're filled with joy before the day even starts. And that can easily continue right throughout the day, that practice. This is what it means to journey in thanksgiving, to live a life of thanksgiving. And it can have a profound effect on your relationship with God, sensing His presence, feeling Him, hearing His guidance. Now, some of you, there might be some people here that are thinking, well, that's just silly. That's just silly, thanking God for all those things, warm bed, breakfast. These are basic human experiences. There's nothing special about these. Except that there are people that don't have those. Yeah, I like going camping because camping reminds me about my soft, warm bed. But I don't take it for granted. We can take them for granted if we don't see them as blessings from God. But if we get into the habit of taking things for granted, we feel entitled to them. And we miss out on one of the most fundamental connections in our relationship with God, and that's giving Him thanksgiving. This is God's will for you, to be thankful in all things. This is the journey I want us to walk on. I'm going to ask you to give a trial of 3 weeks, right? Isn't that what they say at the gym? Sign up for 3 week trial, or sign up to this diet for 3 weeks trial, right? Sign up to this Thanksgiving journey for 3 weeks, all right? That's what I'm asking you to do. So get out your pen or your device, all right? Or whatever it is you need to take this note down, because I'm going to give you a project for these weeks ahead. Over the next 3 weeks, I want you to start a small Thanksgiving journal. It's pretty simple. It's just a book, any book, an exercise book, or you can go to a shop and buy a pretty one if you want. Or if you do Lizzie's painting class, you can get a simple book and wrap it up with a lovely painting that you do today with 1 Thessalonians 5:18 on it. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Yeah. And just get a journal, and what I want you to do is just one simple thing. At the end of every day, right, so just before you go to bed, write down in your Thanksgiving journal where you saw God today at work and what you're thankful for? Just two simple questions. Where did I see God at work in my life today? And what am I thankful to God for today? So you grab your journal, you just sit quietly somewhere, maybe you have it beside your bed or in a drawer beside your bed, and you hop into bed, and just as you start to get cozy, just get your journal and pen out, and don't do it on your phone or a device because that blue light kind of wakes you up thing. So just an ordinary, you know, book, and just write. What am I thankful for? Where did I see God today? Or maybe, you know, after you have a shower, you go and sit at your little desk or whatever, and or dining room table, and just do it then. But just at the end of, finish the day like that. It doesn't have to be a huge entry. Sometimes it's just a sentence or two. But you will be falling asleep with the blessings of God filling your head. You do that for 21 days, and I guarantee you, from experience and from the teaching of the Bible, that you will experience a closeness with God that you've not known. A journey into thanksgiving. I want you to practice that right now. We're going to finish in a moment with a song, but before we do, why don't you just take a couple of minutes now? You can close your eyes if you want to and just talk to God, or you can get out something and write on it. Just write down in the next couple of minutes, just start to make a list of things that you are thankful for, and then finish it up tonight. Right? Should do that for a couple of minutes, and then Lizzie and her team will come up and lead us through that last song in a minute or so. So just take a quiet minute just to do that now. Let me pray. Heavenly Lord, we have so much to thank you for. Every day we are surrounded by beautiful and precious things. And so right now, Lord, we name those things. We give you our heart of thankfulness as we write down, as we speak to you, Lord, those things that we are thankful for. Lead us on this journey. I ask in your name. Amen. Just take a couple of minutes to do that now, and the team will come and lead us.